When I found my husband at the bottom of the stairs, I tried to resuscitate him before I ever considered disposing of the body. I pumped his barrel chest and blew into his purple lips. It was the first time in years that our lips had touched and I didn't recoil. I gave up after 10 minutes. Frank Dubois was gone. Lying there all peaceful and quiet, he almost looked in slumber. But Frank was noisier asleep than he was awake. Honestly, if I had known what kind of snorer he was going to turn into, I never would have married him. If I could do it all over again, I never would have married him even if he slept like an angel. If I could do it all over again, there are so many things I would do differently. But looking at Frank then, so still and not talking, I didn't mind him so much. It seemed like a good time to say goodbye. I poured a shot of Frank's special bourbon, sat down on Frank's faux suede lazy boy, and had a drink to honor the dead. In case you were wondering, I didn't do it. I didn't have anything to do with Frank's death. I don't have an alibi, so you'll have to take my word for it. I was taking a shower when Frank died. As far as I could tell, he fell down the staircase all on his own. He had been suffering from vertigo lately. Convenient, I know. And I doubt he mentioned it to anyone. If I had waited for the police and told them the truth, maybe life could have continued as normal. Minus Frank. I poured another drink and contemplated my options. My first thought was to dispose of the body. Then I'd tell the authorities that Frank left me for another woman, or was running from a loan shark. It was well known that he had a love for cards but no talent for it. I decided to test my strength to see if it was even possible. I tugged on Frank's bloated and calloused feet that I had come to loathe. Why do you have to tell a grown man to clip his toenails? I dragged the body about a foot from his landing site before I gave up. Frank had put on weight in the past year, but even if he were svelte, I couldn't see depositing him any place where he'd never be found. And now there was a suspicious trail of blood in the shape of a question mark just above his head. I might be able to explain it away if I called the police and stayed put. But then they'd start looking at me real carefully, and I didn't like people looking at me all that much. I tried to imagine my trial. Me, scrubbed clean, hair pulled back in a schoolmarm bun, wearing an innocent flowered sundress with a Peter Pan collar, trying to look not guilty, with my hard-edged poker face dry as the desert. I couldn't imagine how I'd summon tears or sell that shattered look of loss. I can't show much emotion anymore. That was something Frank always liked about me. There was a time I used to cry, but that was another lifetime ago. My heart was broken just once, but completely. As I sat in Frank's chair nursing my drink, I pretended to be weighing my options, but there was only one. Frank kept his gambling stash in his toolbox, a little over $1,200. I packed for a short trip and loaded the suitcase into the back of Frank's Chevy pickup. I was only leaving two people behind, if you don't count Frank: Carol from the bar and Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike was the top chiropractor in Waterloo, Wisconsin. There were only two, so it wasn't much of a competition. He'd taken over the practice 3 years ago when Dr. Bill retired. Ever since the accident, my back hasn't been right. Dr. Bill used to fix me up once or twice a month. I saw Dr. Mike more frequently. The first time he put his hands on me, I felt an electric jolt, like I had woken up for the first time in years. I came back the next week, and it was the exact same thing. I came back the week after that. I missed a week, and Dr. Mike dropped by the bar to see how I was doing. Frank was on a fishing trip, and Dr. Mike offered to give me an adjustment in the back office. It didn't go as planned. I couldn't trouble Carol at this hour. I'd wake her kids. Maybe I'd send her a postcard from the road. My chiropractor worked out of an office on the first floor of his 3-story Queen Anne-style house in the nice part of town. The smart thing to do was to get out now, run during those precious hours when the world thought Frank was still in it. But I had few real connections to this world, and Dr. Mike was one of them. I drove Frank's Chevy truck to Dr. Mike's house and took the key from under the rock. I unlocked the door and entered his bedroom. Dr. Mike made a purring sound when he was in a deep sleep, just like a Siamese cat I had as a child. He kind of moved like one, too. He always stretched his lanky limbs upon waking, alternating between slow and deliberate and fast and sharp. I took off my clothes and climbed into bed next to him. Dr. Mike woke up, wrapping his arms around me.
"Do you need an adjustment?" he said.
"Uh-huh." That was our little joke. He kissed my neck and then my lips, and he turned onto his back, waiting for me to start. That was his thing. We never did it unless it was my decision. I had started it, I'd continue it, and today I was ending it. Dr. Mike and I were never a great love story. He was the place I went to when I wanted to forget. When I was with Dr. Mike, I forgot about Frank. I forgot about running from the law. I forgot about who I used to be. When we were done, Mike was massaging the kinks out of my back and trying to straighten out my spine.
"You're completely out of alignment. Did something happen? Did you do something you shouldn't have?"
"Probably," I said. Dr. Mike turned me over on my back and said,
"Something has changed."
"It's about time, isn't it?" I'd felt like a speck of dust frozen in an ice cube for far too long. I should have done something about this life I had long before dead Frank made me do something. I looked at the clock. It was just past midnight. Time to leave. I got dressed quickly. Dr. Mike studied me with a professional regard.
"This is the end, isn't it?"
I don't know how he knew, but he did. There was no point in answering the question. "In the next few days, you might hear some things about me. I just want you to know that they're not true. Later, it's possible you'll hear more things about me. Most of them won't be true either," I said. I kissed him goodbye for the last time.